is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. Oh, sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to take up our missions offering. I don't know if it was mentioned, but there are some QR codes here. And there was on the register. I'll have to print another one. But this is for you to be able to subscribe to the church calendar so you don't miss any events. They'll come through as events on your calendar, and you can set notifications for them. Be very good for you to stay informed. Just a side note. All right? Also, there is the little kids class is there, but not the middle-aged. Primary. Middle-aged. I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm only 8. Amen. The young kids, the toddler class is available today. That ought to help tremendously with the mothers, but the primary kids, go back to your seats. Amen. Don't try to sneak in.
Sister Greeley.
Sister Robin will bounce you right back. Praise the Lord. You ready, kids?
Yeah.
All right. Isn't it a joy, even though you don't get to go to Sunday school today, isn't it a joy to have a mother that loves you? Yeah. Amen. And to be able to give to the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So our very special speaker today is Sister Greeley. She is well qualified to speak on this subject. I'm telling you. Amen. Our 4 kids. She's a mom to 4 children, grandchildren. She has 13 grandchildren. Amen. And she has been the wife of one husband for 40 years. Woo! Praise the Lord. Would you welcome Sister Greeley?
Thank you, my dear pastor husband.
Oh, sometimes he gives me way more credit than I feel I need to get, that's for sure. So today's title is, So They Would All Trust in God. Did you know that you're a walking miracle? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. That's it. We're all miracles, and we all have a mother. Every one of us has a mother. Isn't that amazing? All of us have a mother. I know all of us are not mothers. That's part of life. That is true. But we all have a mother, and mothers are very important. They truly are. They are truly. And we can't take being this walking miracle, we can't take it for granted, but we do. One of the reasons is because last year in the United States, there was 3,664,292 births registered just last year in the United States. That's a lot of miracles. That's an awful lot of miracles. And that's, unfortunately, that's one of the things we just becomes so common to us that we don't think of it as a miracle, but it really, really is. So I don't have a real opening scripture. I'm just going to be jumping in here. So let's just go ahead and pray first before you're seated. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for letting us be here again today, God, just to be reminded again of your miracles, Lord Jesus. Oh, we are such miracles, and you've created us in your image. You have created us, God, to give you glory, and God, that's what we're here to be reminded of today, God, to give you the glory for it all. Ask, God, your spirit of communication to go forth, the words that come forth, God, would find a place in the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So if we do consider, and we have to consider this and think about this, that how all humans are miracles, it really does give us a different view about life in general. That means we really have a purpose in life. We're all miracles. God has a purpose for us. And it's just the wonders of God that we're walking miracles. So people are God's creation. We are greater than the oceans. We are greater than the mountains. All the vegetation, all the trees, all the flowers, all the animals. We're greater than all creation because God made us in his image. People are made in his image. So consider, though, that Adam and Eve were never intended to be the only humans. They were the first humans that God created, but they were never intended to be the only humans in the Garden of Eden. God had a plan. He created Adam and Eve to procreate more and more people, a husband and a wife, father, mother, having more children, having more people, and all those that were born were supposed to learn about God, the Creator. And who are they going to learn it from? They're going to learn it from their parents. They're going to learn how they're supposed to relate to God. They're going to find out how great God is, how wonderful he is. And then when those children grow up, they're going to have children. So that those children can learn more about God. And you know what happens? Then the next generation teaches about God. And if God's perfect plan had worked, the whole world would have been filled with God, people that would give God the glory. God would be glorified in it all. Does that sound like heaven? That sounds like heaven, doesn't it? In Psalm 78, it talks about the generations to come. I'm going to be reading from the ERV. And in Psalm 78, verse 1, I don't know, Brother Andre, do you have that version? I hope you do. Starting in Psalm 78, verse 1, it says, my people, listen to my teachings. Listen to what I say. I will tell you a story. I will tell you about things from the past that are hard to understand. We have heard the story, and we all know it well. Our fathers told it to us. and we will not forget it. Our people will be telling this story to the last generation. We will all praise the Lord and tell about the amazing things that he did from generation to generation to generation. Then the next, verse 5. Am I on verse 5? He made an agreement with Jacob. He gave the law to Israel. He gave the commands to our ancestors. He told them to teach the law to their children. Then the next generation, even the children not yet born, would learn the law, and they would be able to teach it to their own children. So God's plan was for this to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Verse 7 is my title. So they would all trust in God, never forgetting what he had done and always obeying his commands. That's the ultimate purpose of how God made people in the Garden of Eden, and to procreate again and again and again, to fill the earth with God's glory, people that know him and love him and serve him. Well, we know that God's original plan did not come to fruition. There was an enemy attack on the mother of all living. Who was that? Eve. Eve was so very important. She was Adam's comfort and completeness. God made Eve out of Adam to complete him. She was the one to give birth to the next generation who would become people of God. She was so important, so, so important. And she was the one that God made to be the connection between the present and all of the future. She had the present with present. She was there present with her husband at that time. But because she was able to give birth to the next generation and more people, she was connecting to the future too. So don't you think Satan wants to mess that up? Yeah. Who do you think he's going to go to first? Let me try Eve. If I can get her, I can bring down Adam, and I can bring down all those offspring too. I can get all of them to turn away from God if I just get Eve. So moms, you wonder why you feel like you're under attack a lot? That's why. Satan wants to take down your man, and he wants to take down your kids. You got to be on guard. You got to be on guard. If he could ruin Eve, he could just ruin all of God's plan. And then no one would praise God ever again. So Satan deceived her. He deceived her. He got her to doubt God's word. And she became willing to push back against all she had been told about God. Just think about that. Just that little bit of doubt started making her think, oh, you know, maybe it won't be so bad if I do this. Maybe it won't be so bad. Have you ever been around a little toddler that you told, you know, don't go past this line? And what do? They go right there, right on the other side of the line, and then they look at you. What are you going to do? Well, when I was reading through this, it was sort of like Eve, you know, she goes, well, it can't be that bad, right? This is one of the trees that God made. It can't be that bad. What would really happen? Boy, she just never imagined the chaos that one action was going to cause, not in just her life, but in all of the generations to come. She fell right into Satan's trap. Be careful. Everyone be careful. Satan's setting traps for you every day, everywhere, so be careful. Satan hates God, and he hates you. He hates God and all the plans that he's made. He can't create like God, although the technology going into AI and everything, you know, that's as good as Satan can get, AI, machines. God created us, miracles. God created us as miracles. Satan can't do that. What does Satan do? Satan, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. In John 10:10, Jesus was talking. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I, Jesus, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's what God has. If we just follow God's plans, he'll give us life and life more abundantly. So the whole idea of families was the Lord's from the beginning. A father, a mother, children. And he wants to be the center of that family. You know, the top up there? And when he's at the center, all the individuals of the family are going to be blessed. There's going to be blessings of unity, order, consistency, trust, peace, love. So much different than what the world gives, right? The world just gives confusion and brokenness, but God wants to make a family, right, full of joy and peace and unity. And the Bible definitely stands firm on the line of authority. It's God, man, women, and children. God's ways are perfect, if we would just get it in our head. God's way is perfect. Whether we understand it or not, if we just follow his ways, we're going to be blessed because his ways are perfect. Where God created things to become better, the enemy's come to tear it down, and he'll do it in deceptions. He'll promise you one thing. Oh, how Satan he does it. He'll promise you, you are going to have so much fun and so much money if you go this way and you do this and you do that. And then when you go and do all that stuff, then he turns and goes, aha, you stupid. You, how did you fall for that trick? How did you do that? You're never going to be rich. You're never going to have any fun. You're just dumb, dumb, dumb. He just turns everything around. Every time he gets you to go down a certain path, he turns around and accuses you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you on every side, but God just wants to lift you up. And the destroyer's territory is the world, everywhere around us. He uses it all to his plans. Satan wants to use everything in the world to tear the family away from the higher things of God. He wants to tear every one of us down. We do. We live in a generation where we see devil's plans just unveiled against God's in horrendous ways. All kinds of craziness going on in the world. And the battle against the family isn't even a hidden agenda anymore. The Lord is letting things come out from different areas, you know, where teachers are actually saying, you know, we don't need to tell the parents this. We don't need to tell the parents that. And, you know, that, oh, your parents will never understand what it is that you're really going through. You just go to this counselor and don't tell your parents, and we'll keep it a secret for you, too. Doesn't that sound like the enemy? Secrets, right? Secrets, enemies. The enemy is trying to come and tear our families apart. Where God planned that all people would remember him and give him glory, Satan has deceived millions to turn away from him. Our culture, using the incessant media everywhere, the magazines and the television and our screens and screens and screens, it just keeps telling our kids, dads are dumb, moms are annoying, and kids are going to rule the world. If you ever just stop and watch some of the cartoons that are out there these days, it just tears down the family. Don't listen to your parents. Don't do this. And kids are the smart ones. They're the ones that are going to rule the world, and they're the ones that are going to lead us to the best things in life. And, yeah, and it's... I would hope that you do start looking at some of those cartoons and get a different eye. It's like, what are they really trying to tell? Television? The television is telling you something? What is the television telling you? Or the media? Be careful, be careful. In Proverbs 30, verse 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. We live in that day. We really do. There's a lot. I'm thankful for all of those that really do follow God, and they don't curse their father, and they do bless their mother. I'm very thankful for that. But in general of the world, we are in that generation, totally opposite of God's direction for children to honor their father and mother. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, my son, remember your father's command, and don't forget your mother's teaching. Remember their words always. Tie them around your neck and keep them over your heart. Let this teaching lead you wherever you go. It will watch over you while you sleep. And when you wake up, it will give you good advice. Your parents give you commands and teachings that are like lights to show you the right way. This teaching corrects you and trains you to follow the path to life. So if we, like Eve, become deceived and resist God's plans, what are we going to end up with? We're going to end up with chaotic situations that follow us the rest of our lives. Eve never imagined that by her actions that one of her sons, would kill her other son. It was an awful thing. It was an awful thing, and it's all because that disobedience was opened up and chaos came in. She fell for Satan's trap. The Bible gives us accounts where one generation would honestly follow righteousness and they would be so blessed. God would bless them abundantly. And then there's others that would just arrogantly turn away and then they would suffer. And the sad thing about that was, too, that when they turned away, it was them that turned away. And then they turn around and blame God. God, how come you're not blessing us? Well, follow the rules and the directions. If you follow the directions, things work out right. We live in a generation that's turned from God, and Satan seems to have a stronghold in society. But God. Everybody say, but God. Nothing is impossible with him. He can do amazing things that in a seemingly hopeless situation. We're going to be going to the story of Moses. Moses' mom, Jochebed, that's in Exodus chapter 2. But before we read it, I want to do a little bit of background before Exodus. What's the book before Exodus? Genesis. That's where everything began, right? The book of Genesis, the beginning, everything. So, obviously, before Moses was born was all of Genesis. So many things happened and are recorded in Genesis. Genesis is the foundation of our whole belief in God. For years, I didn't realize how important that book of Genesis really is, but it is such a foundation of everything else that we believe. If you don't believe the Genesis account and what's in there, your faith is going to be weak. Because you're going to be confusing everything all the time and questioning and doubting and all this. And Satan has been confusing God's word since the Garden of Eden to cause people to doubt. Doubt is the opposite of faith. If you don't believe the foundations of Moses, you won't believe Jesus. That's what Jesus actually said in John chapter 5, verse 46. Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses was the one that went back and wrote all of Genesis, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Moses wrote down all the stories that he had been told that had happened before him in his life. He was the one that wrote it, but other people had told him all these different things that had happened that God had done. Some of the important events are God created everything by himself. 7 days, 6 days, and then rested on the seventh day. Adam and Eve were sent from the Garden of Eden because of their disobedience. That's in Genesis. Noah's family was saved through the world flood by building an ark. Seems impossible. But if you sit there and you dwell on that in doubt that that happened, your faith is going to be weak. Because God can do anything. He can do anything. And if that story is in the Bible, then we need to believe it. God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel. Where did we get all the languages? It tells us in the Bible, in Genesis, the Tower of Babel. God called Abraham to follow him. Then there was the miracle of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Abraham 100, Sarah 90. What a miracle. Abraham's consecration to God when God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was willing to do it, but God stepped in. Another miracle. Then there was the life of Jacob, who became the patriarch of the nation of Israel. And if that wasn't a miracle, because if you know anything about Jacob, he was not your star Christian in any way. He did have faith in God, though, and he had a desire for things of God. And their family was very, very messed up. But God used them, and that's another hope in us, for us too, is that when we go back to the Word of God and see, wow, their life was kind of messed up, and look what God did in them. That's a hope to us too, that whatever has happened to us, God can still use it. And then Genesis chapter 50 ends with the life of Joseph, his dreams, the trials, and the ultimate promotion to being the second man to Pharaoh in Egypt. And all of God's people knew these events. They knew all of the Genesis events. They had been passed down from one generation to another. Them telling what God has done, how great God is, and how he's the deliverer. We had read Psalm 78 before. We're going to go back there again. Read verses 3 and 4 again. We have heard the story and we know it well. Our fathers told it to us and we will not forget it. Our people will be telling this story to the last generation. We will all praise the Lord and tell about the amazing things that he did. That's what the Jews did again and again and again. Pass it down from one generation to the other. God's people knew the foundational stories in Genesis. They knew it. They didn't have little phones to look it up. What was that again? They knew it. They were expected to remember the stories. And then the book of Exodus begins. It's time where the government tides are starting to shift. God's people have been blessed, but now things are starting to shift. Anybody feel things shifting in our society? Oh, yes. There were dark clouds of opposition that were heading over God's people. In Exodus chapter 1, and Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. So the old generation had died. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He didn't understand the whole history of the Hebrew people. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out war, that they're going to join our enemies and they're going to fight against us. And so get them out of the land. Get them out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. If you skip down to verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And then the story goes on to say that the more that the Hebrews were afflicted, the more they multiplied and the more God blessed them. So then Pharaoh tried to get the Hebrew midwives to kill the Israelite baby boys right when they were born. Sounds almost like abortions these days. You can kill a baby right up until the time that they're born. But Shiphrah and Puah feared God and they wouldn't do it. They would not do that. So, and God blessed them because they believed God and they stood on his law. But Pharaoh made a new law. Throw all the Hebrew baby boys in the river. So times were very bad in those days for God's chosen people. The government authorities were merciless And they had become barbaric toward the Hebrews. Barbaric. We're going to kill them. We're going to kill them. We're going to kill them. Sounds like today with a lot of the Jews, too. People are turning against the Jews again. But in this type of situation, this is where Moses' life begins. Chaotic, oppressive world. Bad, bad, bad. Fear, a lot of fear. You can imagine the neighborhoods. We got to protect our babies, protect our babies. But Moses' father, Amram, and his mother, Jochebed, they had one daughter, Miriam, and a son, Aaron, before their third child was born. And because of the Egyptian law, the couple hid the newborn baby for 3 months. But by that time, if you ever had a three-month-old, you know, we can't hide him anymore. But Jochebed knew that she had to do something because this baby was special. I'm not quite sure what made them feel like Moses was so much more special, but they knew something, that God was doing something in this baby. So she knew she had to do something different to save that baby. So she put together, she wove a basket, and she pitched it with pitch, or she put that waterproofing pitch on it, thinking, well, this will give me a little bit more time. If I just put him in the basket and I put him in the river by the reeds and kind of hide him there, nobody should hear him out there, and he should be safe for a little while. That'll give me more time to figure out what to do. I don't know what to do. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were willing to go against the government laws and try to protect their baby. Being that his parents were of the Levitical clan in Israel, we know that they were praying for the Lord to intervene. God, we need you to do something. I put him out there in the reeds. He's out there all by himself in that basket. We've got Miriam out there looking after it. But God, we need you to do something. And we know this. If you know the story, you know that he did. When Jochebed took the basket down there, Miriam watched over him, and then in Exodus chapter 2, verse 4, the baby's sister stayed and watched to see what would happen to the baby. And just then, God intervened. Pharaoh's daughter went to the river to bathe, and she saw the basket in the tall grass. Her servants were walking beside the river, so she told one of them to go get the basket. And the king's daughter opened the basket and saw a baby boy. The baby was crying, and she felt sorry for it. She didn't have her father's heart. You know, women normally aren't that hard. She was soft to this baby. Oh, it's got to be one of the Hebrew children. Oh. So the baby's sister, she came out of hiding, and she stood and asked the king's daughter, do you want me to go and find a Hebrew woman who can nurse the baby and help you care for it? And the king's daughter, yes, please. Oh, it's a wonder that you're here today. That's great. Yes, go find somebody for me. Who do you think she went to? She went to Mom, guess what happened? Somebody found the baby. What? Somebody found the baby? The princess found the baby. Come on with me. Come with me. So she gets to the princess, and the king's daughter said to the mother, take this baby and feed him for me, and I'll pay you to take care of him. So the woman took the baby and cared for him, her own baby. How God can turn things around. Isn't that wonderful? Just God turned it around. His ways are so much higher than our ways. Who would ever imagine that God would take Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh, the one that's so against them, his daughter, to save the baby. It's just amazing. Oh, amazing, amazing. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10 says that the baby grew, and after some time, the woman gave the baby to the king's daughter. The king's daughter accepted the baby as her own, and she named him Moses because she had pulled him from the water. This kind of confused me. There's still questions to me in the Bible. What did they call him before Pharaoh's daughter called him Moses? I don't know. Maybe you'll find out one day. Go and study it and try to figure it out. I don't know. I haven't seen it in the Bible, so he's always been considered Moses. Now, in this verse here, all the times that I've read it, I assume that Moses was maybe 4 or 5 when he was brought to the princess in Egypt. But this time, it jumped out after some time. It kind of jumped out at me. Just how long was that? After some time. Well, we really don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that either. But then the other word that caught my eye, or caught my attention that I started thinking about, was nurse. That Jochebed was supposed to nurse the child. The king's, what verse is it? Miriam, do you want me to find a Hebrew woman who can nurse the baby and help you care for it? Nurse, what did that all entail? My thought was always just, you know, taking care of, feeding the baby, taking care of the baby like that. But there are synonyms to a nurse. And two synonyms are nanny and governess. Nanny and governess. When I say governess, what kind of picture do you get in your mind? Royals, exactly. That's what came to my mind when I think of governess. They had a governess to raise their kid. Oh, you got to be pretty rich and royal to do that. Well, that was the whole idea. That's what it all started coming to me. It's like that's what his mother became, the governess, the nanny to Moses, to prepare him, to get him ready to become royalty. Wow. So her position of mother just kind of got pushed up a notch. He was going to become royalty, and this is all in God's plan, all in God's plan. So this past week, has anybody seen King Charles III? What is he? The coronation this week? I didn't watch it. I don't know if you did. I didn't watch it. But I did catch some of the pictures of the royal children, the grandchildren and the kids during all those events. Did you ever notice how poised and controlled that they are for their age? You know, little, Catherine was holding her son, her brother Louis's hand, and she'd talk to him. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Always correcting him and holding on to him and making sure he would behave right. You know, the big sisters do that. Try to take over and keep everything in line. But it made me wonder what kind of instruction do these children have? They don't live where we live. They have a totally different place. And they must be under very intentional training of royal etiquette. Doing a little bit of research, you find out what kind of things that these kids are supposed to learn. One of the very first things that they're supposed to learn is the royal wave. Even as kids, 2 or 3 years old, they're supposed to be able to wave at everybody the proper way. Not like, hey there, guys. No, just a nice little twist of the wrist. They're all supposed to learn how to properly greet the king or queen. The boys bow and the girls curtsy. They're taught this at a very early age, you know, I'm like 3 years old or something. Then they're taught some foreign languages. Currently what the little kids are learning now there is French and Spanish. Of course, they know English. English is the first. French is the diplomatic language, I think is what they called it. And then there's Spanish because that's like the third most important language in the world, something like that. So they have to be fluent in different languages. Their etiquette starts as soon as they're able to sit at a table. They start learning how to take the right forks and the right spoons. They're raised at informal meals all the time. They have to learn the duties and the rules of royalty as they're young. They practice self-control, even their voice levels. They can't talk too loud. And they certainly can't talk too loud. They have to have the proper voice level. This is as a kid, little kid. They also have to know the appropriate clothing. Well, it's probably picked out for them, but there is appropriate clothing attire for the kids. And then they have extensive rehearsals and behavior training for the formal events. So you can imagine for this coronation thing that they had been practicing for weeks, making sure that they know what they're doing and how they're doing it right. So reading about all these expectations of the kids, of course, reminded me, brought me back to Jochebed. So true, Jochebed was Moses' biological mother, but now she had been hired as the governess or the nanny of this baby. So she had much more on her plate. She's expected now to teach him how to carry himself as a prince in Pharaoh's palace. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically. There's so much that we don't know in the verses. God, I don't know why God did that, right? Somebody had said God had to be a man because he didn't put any specifics in there. If it was a woman that wrote the Bible, it would be so many books that we couldn't even read it all. So anyway, God condensed it. And he didn't tell us the specifics, but we can assume that he had Egyptian teachers for the formal studies, and it was probable that he learned both Egyptian and Hebrew, and that someone had to teach him the royal etiquette and expectations. Jochebed probably didn't know all of that, but there were people that were sent to her to teach Moses what he was supposed to do and how he was supposed to do it. But Jochebed, as his governess, she would be with him every day, just like a mother. She would be there with him every day. And this was that window of time that she could teach him about his own heritage. Not how to become an Egyptian, but how to be a Hebrew and how to serve the Hebrew God. She could teach him about the God of creation and how he is the Lord of the Hebrews, not all these idols of Egypt, not all these fake gods of Egypt. It's our God, the one God, God of creation. And she taught that to him again and again and again. All the history of Genesis, all those important stories, she taught it to Moses so that he knew it down in his heart. She taught him he was not a Hebrew. He is not an Egyptian. He is a Hebrew. He's a Hebrew. And I can imagine her saying something like this: God has a calling for you, Moses. He's got a calling for you. He saved you from certain death when you were just a baby. Oh, the miracle of it. It was just amazing. You know, maybe you're going to be like Joseph in Pharaoh's house, and God's going to use you to save his people from slavery. It could be you, Moses. It could be you. Teaching him that when he's young. Teaching him the ideas that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He does. He does. She was teaching him again and again the foundations of the belief in God and the purpose that you have in your life. Exodus 2:10 says, "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water, now Moses was part of the royal family.'" We're not told how old he was, but it could have been older than I used to believe. After I was reading about these royals, and, you know, they don't get put in service when they're only 5. But when they're 10 or 12, there are things that they could do as royals. So he might have been, you know, anywhere. We don't know how old he was. But the wonderful thing about it is Jochebed did educate him right. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, now he's an adult, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. He remembered his mother's teaching. He remembered, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. God has called me to be his part of his people. In 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, by faith he forsook Egypt. Isn't that like us when we come to God? We just have to forsake all of our past. Just forsake all of the sins of Egypt. Forsake it. Give up the things of the world. Give up the things of that hold us down. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Jacob had put enough faith in him that he could understand there is a God. I can't see him. He's not an idol. I can't see him. But there is a God that created everything around us. And he is the one that has a purpose for my life. And he's the one that has, he keeps delivering his people. He keeps delivering them through the flood and through all the different things. He's the deliverer. Jacob had trusted God and did what she could to teach Moses. Just in the time that she was given. Moms, you don't have all of your kids' life. You only have those few first years. You only have those first few years to teach them godly ways. Teach them their godly heritage. Teach them what you know. You might not know the whole Bible. Teach them what you know. Learn with them. Learn with them. It's all of our, and it's not just a mother's job. It's parents' job. Parents, use the time that you have to teach your children how great our God is. God did use Moses in an amazing way, and his godly heritage was passed down by his mother and father. And we're still talking about Moses. Thousands of years later, we're still talking about him. It's been passed down again and again and again. Psalm 78, verse 5. I'm getting to where I might need Josiah. Yeah, work your way up here, Josiah, please. Psalm 78, verse 5. He made an agreement with Jacob, God. He gave the law to Israel. He gave the commands to our ancestors. He told them to teach the law to their children. Josiah is going to come up and help me here. In Sunday school, we've been going over the Ten Commandments, teaching the law. Josiah, he's got a really good memory. If anybody's talked with him, they know that he's got a very good memory. And I asked him to do the Ten Commandments for me, and he says, yeah, I'll practice them this week. So this is something, how many of you remember all of the Ten Commandments? Yeah, when I started going into this class with that, it's like, oh yeah, I need to get refreshed on this, what the order is of this. So I'm going to have Josiah tell you what the Ten Commandments are.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother for a long life on this earth that your Lord God will give you. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number 10, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's.
Good job. Good job. Good job. That's just a part, but that's one of the basics, the foundations, right? That's the foundation. So many things that we can teach our kids are just the foundations. If they get that, you know why Satan took the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and prayer out of school. Right. To pull that away so they don't have those foundations anymore. More than ever, folks, parents, if you have anybody in your life that's young, teach them what you know about God. Teach them the foundations. You don't have to be a parent. You don't have to be a mother. You can just teach as much as you can to people. Teach them the foundations. It's amazing what God will do with just a foundational belief in Him. It's amazing. If you go ahead and stand with me, Psalm 78, verse 6. Then the next generation, even the children not yet born, will learn the law, and they would be able to teach it to their own children. That's a whole nother goal. Teach it to your kids so that your grandkids know, and then their great-grandkids know, and it goes on and on and on, to teach their own children. So they would all trust in God, never forgetting what He had done and always obeying His commands. Going to prayer now. I'd like for us just to, right where we are, I'm not going to ask you all to come up, but right where you are, if you would join hands with your family, those that are around you, or just those church family, just, you know, if you're not sitting with anybody, move to another row, and we're going to pray and ask God to help us stand on the foundations of God. I would really like all of you to go back to the book of Genesis and be honest with yourself. Ask yourself the question as you're reading those stories, do I really believe this? And why do I not believe it? And then I would hope that you would pray. If you come to that stumbling area, if you come to that realization, it's right, I really do have doubts about that, I would pray that you would pray and ask God to give you a revelation about that, so that you and your foundations will be strong, so your faith will be strong in the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray right now, not only for yourself, but those next to you. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that you created us in your image. We are all walking miracles, Lord. And your idea, it's your desire, your heart's desire that we would all come to know you in such an intimate, close way, Lord Jesus, to know your heart, to know your thoughts. Oh, my Jesus, oh, God, to know you in such a great and mighty way, God. Oh, it's your desire, Jesus, that we would continue to talk about your greatness, to tell others about how good you are, the prayers answered, the things that you've done, your wonders, God, even to just point to nature and say, this was God that created this. This is not just something that happened. It's not just happen chance, but it was our God that loves us, that made all this, God. Help us, Lord, to stand strong in our foundations, God, and to pass it on to our kids. Oh, we love you and thank you, Jesus, so much for everything you are, everything that you've done, my God. Oh, open up our understanding to who you are and what you want us to be, Jesus. God, our purpose in life, Lord, each and every person you've created in your image, Lord, we are miracles and you have a purpose for each and every one, God. Give us a new way of thinking, God, to understand, Lord, that there's things around us you might want to do something. Oh, Moses' life was so amazing, God. Who would ever have thought that he was taken out of the oppression of the world, out of Egypt, and he was brought right into the royal family. God, and you used him in such a mighty way, God. I pray, Lord, that you would move on this congregation today, God. Oh, bring new revelation to each and every one, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the families represented. I ask, God, that you would strengthen them in your spirit, Lord. Cover them with your protection, Lord Jesus. Oh, let your unity flow, Lord Jesus. Yet let your unity flow, not just in our church, but in our families, Jesus. Oh, to be strong in you, God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just cry out to him. Tell him how much you love him, how great he is. He loves you so much. He made you a walking miracle. Oh, to give him glory. Oh, Jesus, that you get the glory out of my life, Lord. I want you to get the glory, Jesus. Yes, you are wonderful, Lord. I praise you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes,
dear Jesus.
Yes,
I live to know you more.
Yes, to know you more. To understand
you
purchased
me
your heart,
with
God.
Eternal
have your way
blood
in us, Lord. We love you,
spread
Jesus.
On the
mercy seat. Yes. Oh, that we would all trust you,
Jesus.
To trust you, to lean on you.
Dear Jesus.
Oh, you are the answer, God.
Your
yes,
mercy
oh,
is divine.
Oh, give us understanding, Lord.
For
give us
while
wisdom. Give us discernment,
sin,
God, to walk in
you
your spirit,
love
Jesus.
Me
walk
so
in your spirit,
you
your
came
love, God, your love.
And gave
cast
your
out
life.
All fear, Jesus. It's your
oh,
love.
Oh, how I
and
love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you.
I would give
my life to you. Jesus, dear Jesus. How precious is your name. There is none else in all the earth by which I must be saved. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. I will give my life to you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, I will give my life to you. You truly are my King, and I will serve your throne. To worship you alone. You truly are my King, and I will serve your throne. To worship you alone. Sing it with me. You truly are my King, and I will serve your throne. Oh, to worship you alone. Oh, say, truly are my King, and I will serve your throne to worship you alone. Oh, you truly are my King, I will serve your throne to worship you alone. Truly are you, truly are my King, and I will serve your throne, Lord, to worship you alone. Oh, I can hear the angels, sing, and bow before your throne to worship you alone. Hallelujah. I can hear the angels, sing, and bow before your throne, oh, to worship you alone. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, I will give my life to you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. I will give my life to you. I will give my life to you. I will give my life to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you truly are my King, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I worship you alone, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you truly are my King, God. Hallelujah. Oh, and I will serve your throne, God. Worship you alone, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thankful for a mom that brought me to church, sometimes drugged me to church. Amen. Said, get in the car. Not just that, but camp meetings. She knew. She must have known. Got to get this kid to every encounter with the presence of God that I can. And I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for my wife, who has taken my children and is discipling them and is leading them and bringing them up in the way of the Lord. Amen. It's so important that you be on the same page. And I know there's a range here today of what Sister Greeley spoke about today is so important. There's a range here of different ages, and even sometimes in the same family, there's a range of ages, young kids growing up with bigger kids, teenagers, amen. But I can tell you this, it is never too late to start teaching your children about the Lord. Amen. And if it takes, you know, say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, I'm so thankful. Sister Robin was at Winter Fire this past year, and she saw a book there, and she didn't know what it was, but it looked interesting to her. She picked it up, brought it home, and as she's looking at it, she sees that it is a children's devotional book. And so she said, she brought it to me and said, I don't know what to do with this. It's not really for me. It's for children. Would you like to have it?
And so I said, yeah, absolutely. And so we've been from the beginning, since Winter Fire, been doing this discipleship with our children. And it's called Seeds of Jochebed, in fact, which is Moses' mother's name. And it just has a daily, and it's just during the school year, but it just has a daily reading and a scripture for the children to memorize. And these kids have been memorizing these scriptures. And, you know, something that just jumped out to me about it was that it's the same scriptures that were instilled in me as a child. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. John 1 and 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I can tell you this, mothers, children are not going to disciple themselves. And that has two meanings. One is that they won't do it on their own, but somebody will disciple your children. That's the second meaning. Somebody will teach your children. If it's not you, somebody's teaching them. Somebody's discipling them. And we don't want them to be discipled in the way of the world. Amen? If you need help, talk to us. Talk to Sister Greeley. Talk to myself. Talk to Brother Greeley. We will figure out a way to help you in giving that to your children. Because it's so, so valuable, important, what Sister Greeley talked about today. Amen. Amen? I know this wasn't some kind of shout-down service, but to mothers, I think that you probably have this feeling of great confidence and importance today. How important you are. Amen. Don't forget, there are treats for the mothers in the back right here after church. And if you need to subscribe to the calendar, come see me. If you have technical difficulties, we'll help you out. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for this blessing, God, on our mothers today. It blesses the whole church, Lord God, when our mothers are blessed, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it, God. Ask you, Lord Jesus, to help them to enjoy this day. Lord, that they would feel special, God, that they would feel important, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they would feel called to do, Lord, what you want them to do. Lord, and we thank you, Jesus, for keeping us, Lord God, as a whole church, Lord God, as a family, Lord. We thank you and praise you and bless your name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for coming.
Copy this in the conference. Okay. And go to your office. Put that back here because Sister Greeley's going to look.